everybody, welcome to another episode of Ho in the Know. I am the Delta variant, Selena.
And I'm your triple tax advisor.
Never was there a more integral job.
Yeah, no. TurboTax fucked me though. Like when I tried to get the pandemic relief, whatever it's called, the payment that they were sending.
PUA or whatever, or yeah, pandemic unemployment assistance. Or are you thinking of
the checks they were sending out?
So there was that one, and then there was the PPE. Or the whatever.
The PPE? Yeah.
Sounds like my type of taxes.
Unemployment. Anyway.
PPE taxes. Yeah. It was
for the people who were employees.
Yeah. They I messed up on the thing and they wouldn't correct
They're
it.
They're like, no.
They're like, no money for you. No.
No.
You dirty, bad.
Sure.
Exactly. So now I am the TurboTax advisor. become what you hate the most.
We're joined today by Nikki Darling. Hey.
Hi, how are you guys?
Every episode, we begin with a segment we call Historical Hoes. And this week's historical hoe is Dong Xiaowan. I got my information from Wikipedia. Dong Xiaowan was born in 1624 during the Ming Dynasty. She became a courtesan at 18 years old. She was also a painter, poet, and writer under her pen name Xing Yan. Dong had been described as the most famous courtesan of her time. Known for her beauty and for being one of the eight beauties of Qin Huai, described by late Qing officials, she also had a great talent in singing, needlework, and the tea ceremony. When her mother died in 1642, she was left to struggle financially. The noble Mao Bijang, alternatively known as Mao Xiang, had attempted to meet with Dong several times, but had pursued a relationship with the courtesan Chen Yuanyuan instead. After Chen was abducted by a noble associated with the imperial court, Mao visited Dong. Her mother had only been dead for 2 weeks, and Dong was quite ill. She proposed that she become his concubine, and refusing to take no for an answer, allegedly followed him for 27 days on his boat. Eventually, the two agreed to wait for Mao to pass the imperial examinations, which he failed. In order to facilitate Dong's marriage, Qian Qinyi, husband of fellow courtesan Liu Ruxi, paid off her debts of 3,000 gold taels and had her name struck from the musician's register. She then lived with Miao in Rugo as his concubine alongside his wife, Lady Su. She has been described as a dutiful, sacrificing, and loyal wife and daughter-in-law during her marriage to Mao Bijang, who, as a loyalist of the Ming Dynasty, was persecuted after the Qing Dynasty's rise to power in 1644. When Mao, Lady Su, and Dong were forced to flee their home in 1644, Dong abandoned her more valuable belongings to save her writings and paintings. They stayed in Huzhou under Zhu Yusong, who was crowned emperor in Nianjing later in 1644. Soon after, the household moved to Zhejiang, where Dong compiled a book titled Liu Liang Ji, about jewelry, women's costumes, and pavilions and parties. After her death in 1651, Mao Bijang published a biography of Dong's life called The Reminiscence of Tung Hsiao-wan. It was translated into English and published in 1931. In it, he emphasized Dong's skills at needlework, a skill typically associated with the domestic virtues of a wife. In contrast, he downplayed her painting abilities, which Jen Wetzel had suggested may have been an attempt to dissociate Dong from her previous life as a courtesan. Dong has often been confused with consort Donggu, and therefore said to have been abducted to the harem of the emperor. Dong's life was adapted for a film by Cantonese opera playwright Tang Ti-sheng. Her romance with Mao Bijang has been dramatized as a Kanchu Opera by the Northern Kanchu or Opera Theater. And that is The Amazing Life of Dong Xiaohuan.
I know. Tired. I mentioned to y'all before we started recording, I think I got food poisoning from Cafe Gratitude. It was more me than Cafe Gratitude. Although I will say that whenever I took my meal into my car, it smelled really funky. Like,
but they make shroom things. Mushrooms tend to be a little funky.
I mean, that's true. Mushroom burgers, they like make like a mushroom carnitas thing. And no shade on that.
That sounds delicious.
I love a mushroom carnita. So
also, you got to be careful with your mushrooms, you know, like
that's true. Yeah, that's very true. But yeah, so I'm like 50% capacity, maybe less, oh, but no. I'm here.
I'm glad you're here, you know?
Yeah. I'm doing, I lost my job.
To
burn it down.
Capitalism. Oh, God.
Yeah, no.
Now y'all see right. where I'm at now. Capitalism is so trash.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I hate it so much. And like, now I have a whole ass apartment and like bills I need to pay. So I'm like, okay.
And you're like, well, how do I do this?
Yeah.
We're going to send just money vibes. Money yeah, for the country. One way or the other, it will come.
It'll manifest.
Yes. If somebody wants to help out, Corey,
let's plug those money handles. Yeah. Yeah.
Venmo is at HCORE, and my Cash App is the hashtag SPCRI. That would be great.
Please, pay them.
Please
send some money Corey's way.
Yeah, but it's given me an opportunity to do more sex work things that I have been putting off. I had a hypnotist customer.
Oh.
Or hypnotism customer. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh. So wait, did you hypnotize them, or did they just happen to be a hypnotist that was like, yo, what's good? Or
I hypnotized them. It was like this whole like money findom situation thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Maybe try to hypnotize them and be like, you will pay my rent. I don't really know how hypnotism works. I've always been curious about it.
My rent. that's a stereotype, but not hypnotism.
I know. I feel like there's like steps to like getting to that part. But yeah, I don't know.
You have to want to be cool, hypnotized.
Though. Mm-hmm.
And you have to want to be hypnotized in the way that you're being hypnotized.
Yeah.
Also fair.
Guess what? This is a podcast about sex work by sex workers for sex workers, all about the sex work. It's Ho in the Know. Hey guys.
and yes, welcome Nikki. Also Paisley.
Yes.
It's your other moniker.
Yes. Nikki Darling, Paisley Parker.
Ooh, hello. That's very cute. It's kind of, it makes me think of like Spider-Man, like a little Peter Parker, but Paisley Parker.
Yes. My one name, Nikki Darling, is from the Prince song. And I wanted, ever since I was young, I've always been like, what did that person do to you? And I'm like, I want to be her. Yeah, I'm like, who the fuck is that bitch? Like, I want your life. So when I was thinking of names, I thought of Nikki Darling, and I don't know, kind of in the space I'm at now, I've been really having fun with art and writing, and I was kind of like, do I want to use, like, you know, Nikki Darling was very much my sex worker persona, and I was like, do I want to how can I blend or like streamline, but also like protect myself still, because people out here are wild. And so mm-hmm. I thought of Paisley Parker, after the song by Prince, Paisley Park. And so I was like, yeah, fuck it, that'll work. So I don't know. I'm still trying it out. Well, I'm feeling it though.
I think it's a great name, honestly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It like feels believable as a name, but also like very whimsical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like the whimsical about it. I also like the subtle androgyny a little bit of it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Very they them name.
Yes. I'm all about the they them names.
So how do you differentiate which name to use for which type of work?
I guess for me right now, it's kind of like when I think like when it comes to like my OnlyFans and things like that, and I guess like making like I guess my more explicit content, I usually will go by Nikki Darling and kind of like streamline for that. And then when it comes to like my writing and my Patreon, and I guess, I guess I want to say art, but also I think like my sex work can be viewed as artistic, but I guess the stuff that's like not specifically
explicit art,
quote unquote. Yeah, I guess stuff that doesn't involve penetration. I then will use my Paisley Parker stuff.
Paisley's a virgin.
Right.
Paisley's never been touched.
Never been touched. But yeah, I don't know. Also, it's like, it's an interesting line. I don't know, because what is, I don't know, what's explicit and what's not, and that's a whole other thing.
What is explicit and what's not? Can we just start listing things?
Yeah, do you want to like dive in there? Yeah, sure. I don't know. I mean, if I'm looking at what's explicit and what is not, based on how I see the world and how I frame the world, I don't know, because I feel like guns are
explicit.
Ooh, okay. I feel like, I don't know if that, maybe, I think racist.
Yeah, racism is explicit.
Yeah, like racists are explicit.
Yeah.
Can we say Karens are explicit? Karens go?
Yeah.
Like Karens having meltdowns in fucking stores and shit and chasing black women and shit. I think that's explicit.
I agree.
I think maybe, I don't know, I think.
Toxic masculinity.
Mm. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes, definitely toxic masculinity.
Violence against trans people.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes.
That's fucking explicit. Like.
Yes. I think violence against like BIPOC community in general, I think mm-hmm. explicit. Violence against queers. Yeah, I would say things like that are explicit. I personally don't think anybody showing their asshole is explicit at all. Or nudity. I don't find nudity to be explicit, honestly, because I'm just like, you know what? We all got to be in these meat suits. You might as well have fun with the shit. And, you know, do you? I don't know. I don't think twerking is explicit. I honestly don't think cussing in a lot of ways are explicit. I fucking love cuss words like that shit. As a writer, even, I'm like, oh yeah, give me that.
Yeah, more cuss words in like academic texts, please. Because like,
you know what I'm saying? Yes, yes.
Be boring.
I don't know. I think there are ways in writing to use explicit words, or I guess I mean not explicit.
I mean, it's like emphasis. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, also, I feel like
the erotica, like.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's like a neutralizing of like academic verbiage, you know, like it's like there's no way you can be like, this is fucking out of hand. Like you could be talking about like genocide and you can't be like, it's fucking awful. And and they're like, no, it's like increasingly devastating to the communities affected. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, no, I think there is something to be said about being like, this is fucking not okay. And I feel like that goes into like, I don't know, I think there's so much colonization in like academia. I mean, I feel like colonization is everywhere, but like everywhere.
But it's true.
But yeah, I do think there is so much colonizing in academia, in, I don't know, in sex work, in life. I don't know. I'm really upset with what's happening in the world right now. I don't know. Yeah. I want to hold duality because also I think there, or at least personally, I've experienced some really beautiful things, despite like all of like the painful, really frustrating and maddening and vexing things that have been happening. I think there's still, I feel like honestly, the fact that I have been able to find some joy in the midst of it is pretty cool. Or maybe that's what I tell myself to like feel better, but
yeah.
No, but joy is joy. Like if you've been able to find it, that's a beautiful thing. Like,
yeah.
Life is fucking grating right now. I mean, it's just like one disaster and one terrible thing after another. And also just like this endless pandemic
that never is ending.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Delta variant ripping through so many places. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I was like, oh yeah, maybe I'll be able to like travel again. And I know that this is like fucking bougie as fuck thoughts, but like I acknowledge that. But I'm also, but now it's like, well, I guess we probably won't be able to do anything. It's just more like longing for a sense of normalcy. And like, I miss people's faces and congested spaces and something else that rhymes with aces.
No, I feel that though. Like, want for normalcy, but also like, you know, I think for a lot of people, I think also specifically for people who are part of like the LGBTQIA plus community, I think like we find our community and families that aren't necessarily like by blood or relation. And like usually I know for me, like my chosen family is all across the motherfucking United States and you know, even in other countries. And so not being able to necessarily have that same access to be able to see those people, you know, physically, to like have that community is, yeah, it's been fucking rough. Like,
I was definitely going through that recently. Like I've been pretty much exclusively with like men over the course of the pandemic because of sex work and partners and shit like that. And I like didn't realize how like draining or how just drained I was of having my like queer community. Like Corey's been like my lifeline this whole pandemic, like my only bit of like
gay shit
that I get to enjoy on a regular basis. But I like finally got to go to like a couple queer parties and I was like, oh my God, it's like breathing air again.
Yeah.
It's like having people who like believe the same shit that I do and who like reinforce what I believe and like validate what I'm thinking and like who are going through the same stuff. It was like, I was in this void also of like not really being around a lot of poly people. And then I went to this party and it was like everybody was complaining about their poly relationships. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm not alone. You are not alone. Sorry.
That's so true. I mean, I give you all the credit for your relationship surviving because mine sure as fuck didn't.
My Lord, fucking imploded. It was I was part of that grade of, I feel like there were like, along with the different waves of the pandemic, there were also like, I think waves of like, I don't know. I feel like me and like a bunch of like my other like polyamorous, like queer friends, like all like broke up primary partners, like within a week of each other. It was like, it was awful and terrible and like so very painful, but it did feel good being like, okay, it's not just me though. But I mean, the fact that like, I don't know, I feel like, I don't know. Yeah. This pandemic has, I think like taxed and I think really has created like so many tensions and like so many different aspects of our like society and communities, our infrastructures, our like health systems, our like mental health systems. Like it's all, yeah. Even that it's fucked, but maybe because I think it was all like, I think a lot of it was already fucked, but I think it's more just like, yeah, it's more just like in your face and just being like, well, you can't look away from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of the pre-existing conditions just really
confront your demons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, the demons,
because they live in your house.
In your house, in your life, in your brain, mind, body, and soul.
So, yes, like we said at the top, this is a podcast about sex work.
Yeah. But you know what? It's also about sex workers talking about whatever the fuck we want to talk about.
Also fair.
But I want to get into, how did you start doing sex work?
Oh, okay. So I know, I guess like what's my background? How do I start this story?
Name, age, date, time of embarkation, departure. God, I'm thinking in too, like, I've spent the week speaking like shitty Spanish. And so sometimes I'm just like thinking of, I can't speak is the point of this.
Yeah, your brain is like Spanglish, like, yes. What is happening? I feel you.
How old were you?
How old was I? I think I was, I want to say 23. I was 23. Oh, nice. Yeah, I started a little, I started in the industry, I think, a little bit older. I come from an arts background. I had gone to college. I was a preacher's kid. Yeah, so you know I'm nasty. That Christian shame just woo, ready to anyways. So yeah, I very much was like raised in the church, was very sheltered. I was like the oldest, you know, daughter of a very, you know, black, I guess you would say like your traditional black family. So I didn't get to do shit for quite some time. I think like, yeah, going to college definitely allowed me to experiment with a lot more shit.
When did you lose your virginity? Let me just get into a deep question.
I lost my virginity when I was 18 by a person named Jesus. And I always joke and be like, yeah, I lost my virginity to Jesus.
Yes.
Because it's true.
You did.
Yeah. And this is probably like really problematic, but I totally lied about being a virgin. I'm pretty sure he realized that I was a virgin, but I lied about it because I don't know. Guys get really fucking weird about it. And they think it's something important, and I'm like, nah, bruh, like, fuck me so I can get this over with, so I can just live my slut life and have my fun. Mm-hmm.
Let me sow these wild oats, damn.
Yeah, I was ready. I was just like, let me just, and yeah, it was when I was in college, probably like, I don't know, probably within like my first week or two. I was kind of like, let's just get this out the way.
And so, yeah, I did. And, you know, and then I had like a whole lot of other, a lot of sex after that. I don't know, but like definitely, I don't know. I went to Santa Clara University, which is like very small school. And I think, I don't know. I think I was definitely like exploring my sexuality. I don't think there were really terms for like non-binary or people who weren't, I don't know, who were other genders than the binary. And so I definitely always struggled with like how other people regarded me. And it always just pissed me off to just be like, why am I being treated this way just because I have a fucking uterus? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was something that always irked me. But yeah, graduated from college. I graduated in 2010 when probably was like the worst time. And I feel like that's when like there were no jobs. At all.
Only abundant, all the abundant opportunities, actually.
Also,
the most like, opportunities ever.
Also, mind you, like, I got my degrees in, like, okay, so I double majored. I got my degrees in history and also dance and theater. So,
yeah, you're in it for the money.
Right? Rolling in dough, like ready to like make millions. I definitely paid millions for my private Jesuit schooling.
Jesuit.
Problematic, terrible. Yeah, talk about colonialism. Anyways, and so definitely, yeah, I was definitely like on that hustle, like working like, you know, three jobs and two side hustles, like really trying to like make it work living in the Bay Area, which is like one of the most expensive cities ever. Yeah, like trying to get by, was exhausted from having to like wear all these hats, but also like, yeah, I just, yeah, it was rough. And so I had watched this documentary about this place called The Lusty Lady.
Ooh.
And was like, huh, that's interesting. And, you know, found out it was still open. And actually in this like really interesting way, I used to go to this this club called the Cat Club in San Francisco, and they used to have like a kinky night during the week called Bondage Go-Go. And I used to go there because, you know, like I said, I was a freak. Actually got like really fucking wasted and ended up meeting like that madam of the Lusty Lady of that time. Definitely made out with her and her dude that night.
Oh, wow.
And then
like, what an introduction.
Right. And then like later they were like, you should totally like come and like audition at the Lusty Lady. Like, you know, came and auditioned, you know, maybe a couple months later, with my then girlfriend at the time, who was a trash human, but anyways, just dating them at the moment. We both auditioned, ended up getting the job. And so I started working at the Lusty Lady. I kind of worked at some other clubs like around there, like the Condor and what was the other one? Hungry Eye. I was a baby stripper though. So I maybe worked there for like 2 or 3 days and was like, I don't think this is for me yet. Worked at the Lusty Lady for two and a half years up until it closed.
I wonder if you like know all of the people that I know from the Lusty.
It's possible. Yeah. There's quite a few people. It's so funny because there's people who are like, I consider like my best friends, and like they worked at the Lusty Lady, but either like before or, you know what I mean? So it's always funny when you like talk to your, it's like this weird like sorority of like, oh yeah. Oh, did you work at the Lusty? Oh, when did you work at the Lusty Lady? Like what year? Like, yeah, mm-hmm. it was, yeah, so that was kind of like my introduction into sex work. And then I continued to like strip off and on. I worked at a number of different strip clubs after the Lusty Lady closed. I worked at Gold Club. They're trash. Well, they're just racist. Mm-hmm. Gold Club. I worked at Hustler. I worked at Centerfolds. I'd worked at Mitchell Brothers.
Oh, how was Mitchell Brothers?
It was like the Wild Wild West, but you know, I made some coin.
Yeah. I'm always just like, you know, it's another one of those mythical places because like they invented the lap dance. So.
Yeah. Also, like I know like there's a lot of history too because I know like they shot The Green Door.
Yes. What is it? Beyond the Green Door or something?
Yeah, Beyond the Green Door.
One of them murdered the other and all of those.
Yes.
Other fun facts.
It's like crazy story. I don't know like all of the particulars, but yeah, one of the brothers murdered one of the other ones. When I was working there, it still was definitely like still in the family. It wasn't my favorite of the strip clubs, I would say, as far as how like payouts and stuff went. But I did enjoy that that was one of the only clubs where I was able to play the music that I wanted to play.
Ooh, that's nice. What did you want to play at that time?
You know, I played a lot of like sexy, raunchy, like R&B shit, you know. definitely like had a Rick Ross moment. Also, I know I'm trying to think like what were the different songs on my playlist. I know I'm trying to remember. Oh, I definitely like 6 Inch. That was when like 6 Inch by Beyonce came out, so I definitely played the fuck out of that song a lot. And got my whole ass Beyonce life. I definitely am like a Missy Elliott stands, so definitely like a lot of Missy Elliott and like Tweet. Do y'all remember Tweet and like so like played like Tweet and shit like that. I don't know, there's like a very special place in my heart like around like I would say what like early to mid 2000s like black women like R&B singers, like I just feel like they didn't get their flowers, and I'm just
absolutely
like not. Like Anne Marie has bangers like to this day, or like 702, like I don't know that was a good time. That's a good time for female music for me personally. I worked at a lot of different strip clubs. I mean, I was a stripper off and on for like 7 years. And some of it I loved. There was also like a lot of shit that was like really fucked up. I would say probably the hardest thing was like dealing with the racism in a lot of strip clubs. Like, I feel like you can't, at least for me, I felt like it was so hard to escape. And it was like such a weird and interesting line to tread.
Yeah.
And was it mostly racism from the club itself, or was it from customers, both? What did it look like?
I think it was from a lot of different sides. I mean, like, you have, you know, you got white bitches from Vallejo thinking they can say the N-word in the dressing room. You got fucking... You know, I know at Gold Club specifically, I was originally hired for day shift, and you know, they said the whole thing of like, you know, you kind of have to earn being able to work night shift.
Oh my God, I hate that.
Or like work a double, where it's like, so that means you are working like hours and hours in heels, not being able to go outside like for hours,
and not even making that much money probably.
I did pretty good. Like, I had, you know, I actually could dance and like I learned, you know, I learned the pole shit.
I mean, dance major.
And I also had mouthpiece. So I, you know, I did good. Like I was good at my job. I think it was frustrating because I think people with my look or how I like did my look, I think my look has always confused people. So I think because in a lot of ways people didn't know where to put me, and I didn't look like the other black strippers, you know what I mean? I didn't have the hair that went like, you know, I didn't have the hair, this straight wigs that went all the way down my ass. Not to say that that's not the best.
How did you style
ever.
Yourself?
At that time I actually had like a mohawk with like micro braids. So like the sides of my head were shaved, and then like I would always like have like braids or like locks or whatever, like extensions, which they definitely didn't like that. And but that was always my look, because I was always, I don't know, I was, I guess you like a black alt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Person. It's definitely the vibe that I get from you. It's very like, yeah, alt-y, but like very black alt-y.
Yes. Yeah. Very like, and it's interesting. Like, yeah, I was that before Afro punk and all that shit. But anyways, mm-hmm. but like, yeah, but at that time, like, you know, at that time, I don't really think there was much space for black weirdos or like mm-hmm. black alt people.
How were you received by the customers, like with your look?
I mean, I think it was a mixed bag, but I think when you learn how to like find the people who are drawn to you, you make it work. You know, I also like lied about a lot of shit too, because, you know, of course,
that's how you
do
it.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, it was always really weird though, because like, I don't know, did y'all, as strippers, did y'all ever get the thing where like, did y'all ever like test out the thing where, you know, like dudes be like, well, you know, like what ethnicity are you and like where are you from? And then like, I don't know, when I would just be like, I'm black, like 9 times out of 10 would not get money. But whenever mm-hmm. I would fucking lie and like exoticize myself, it was always immediately, which I'm just like, this is so
it's
fucked up.
It's just fucked up. Yeah.
Also, I'm going to clean out your whole ass wallet because you're a racist piece of trash. But like, yeah. You don't know that. But yeah, I'm taking all of your money.
Like, yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I think it was a mixed bag. I think I also, oh yeah. And then, I mean, in between the times of me stripping, I want to say, not too long after I think I got into stripping, I started shooting porn.
Who did you shoot with?
I started out shooting for Kink. Like I shot for kink.com a lot while, you know, the Armory was still like producing content. And
how
then,
was that experience for you?
Most of my experiences at kink.com were actually like really great experiences. I also will say it has not been like that for everyone though. So I also want to say that and give space to that. But yeah, most of my scenes that I did for Kink were really fun scenes and like really great.
What kinds of kinks did you explore?
Oh man. All of them. Like definitely bondage, electro play, anal.
Did you ever do the, what is it, ultimate surrender?
Oh, hell yeah. Yes.
That should always look so much fun.
It's really fun. Also, I didn't realize that like I had a thing for like wrestling, like foreplay, but ooh. Oof. Yeah.
Wrestling is
that
fun.
That was great. Hell yeah, you're like wrestling, like broing down with a really, really, really other like hot person and like smelling each other and it's like sweaty and you're like talking shit and then it's just like, oh man, this is awakening a primal something that I didn't realize I had. Like,
yeah.
Oh, So yeah, it was always really fun. Like either way, like there are some matches I won, there are some matches I lost, but I don't think it's ever winning or losing because you get fucked or like
do you really lose?
And I like getting fucked and I like fucking. So I'm like right. either way, I'm like, yay. So yeah, like I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun working for Kink. It was really great. And then, I've shot for Crash Pad also several mm-hmm. times.
Love Crash Pad.
Yeah. I still to this day shoot for them. I just did a scene actually. It's really cute.
Yeah.
I did it with, my bestie. I don't know if you know them, but they go by La Mujer Diosa.
Yeah.
And we did like a really cute, like bestie, like sort of like witchy ritual.
Ooh.
It was really cute. It was really cute. Also like so fucking gay.
I mean, you know, gay, which is like they kind of go hand in hand a little bit.
I know. I feel like, yeah, I'm like, I feel like whenever anyone is like, I'm a witch, I'm like, okay, so you're gay.
So you eat pussy is what you're saying.
Right. It's so true. But yeah, I've shot, there's a time where I went back and forth to LA a lot too. So I've done some mainstream stuff. I've done some like wild ass gonzo, like ass, like Olympics things. Like I've
that's
done,
Olympics.
Yeah. I have had two penises inside of my butthole.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How was that for you? Was it okay? Wait, let's get into this real quick. Like I love butt stuff. Butt stuff is great.
It's I'm a fan.
But how did you train for that?
So, there is actually like a whole system and process I had. You wake up. You douche.
Step one.
Yeah, you wake up. I know some people are like, don't drink coffee, but I personally like to drink coffee because one, that's my morning ritual. Two, for me personally, that helps move things along, if you will.
Right.
I drink my coffee, take my morning shit.
Clear it out.
Then, you know, do the douche. Douche it out with some water.
The enema.
Yeah, you do the little enema, boop, boop. And, you know, depending, like, I don't know, for me, usually it doesn't take super long, but, you know, bodies do different shit sometimes.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, regarding stress or whatever, but usually, like, yeah, like 20 or 30 minutes, I'm, like, good and clean. Mm-hmm. And then I will, you know, take some lube, work a finger or two in, like feel myself relax. And then usually I'll either like put like a kind of butt plug or something in to just kind of
keep it.
Feel the presence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to feel the presence and like kind of relax the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, you know, sometimes like I'll masturbate because that, you know, helps get going. Right. And then, yeah, usually by that point, I'm pretty like good, ready to go. I am always a person that like I will like pre-lube sometimes because I don't know what it is about cis straight men. Well, I do know what it is about cis straight men. They've never had shit up their ass. And so, like, I don't know. I feel like there's some cis straight men that just, like, assume that an asshole is, like, a pussy. And it's like, nah, motherfucker, it's not. No.
Yes.
It doesn't get wet by itself.
It's not self-lubricating.
No.
Exactly. And it's like, you gotta go slow. Like, I don't know. Yeah. They don't always understand that. That's why, like, I learned, I'm like, I... like with most cis hetero men, I realized I can't expect this from you, so I have to do it myself. cis hetero men from anal to everything. You're not gonna stretch my butthole out. Fuck, I'm gonna do it myself. Anyway, so,
yeah.
So that was kind of like my little ritual of how I prepared my booty hole. But also, I think there in the scene, like there was a lot of work up to it. Like, you know, it's like, you know, first it was one dick, and then, you know.
Yeah, you didn't just go straight for the double like, whammy. You
know, like first it was one dick, and then I don't know, because I've done gangbangs and stuff too before, so it's like I've definitely learned how to handle a lot of dicks at once, and so you just kind of so it's like I've done like double penetration. That's probably my favorite of them all, to be quite honest. That shit is glorious.
How does it feel?
Like, if you have, so I think it's important that like you have two people that can catch each other's rhythm real good. And when, and so then when you like, when they catch that rhythm and you catch that rhythm and it's like the whole ass synergy and you're like, oh my God. Like that's when eyes roll in the back of your head and it's just like, yeah, I feel like at that point I get deduced to just, I don't know. I feel like I do anal very much like if you watch twink porn, I feel like, I feel like that's how like anal is for me, or at least whenever I've like watched scenes, I'm just like, oh, how does anyone like this? Because I feel like I'm just like a twinky boy just going in.
Okay. I think that gangbangs, DPs, double penetration, you know, all of these things are a little bit gay.
Yeah.
100%. Like, yeah. 100. I'm like, I'm sorry, but like, there is something extremely homoerotic about a bunch of dudes
all being hard at the same time or being in the same hole.
Yep.
Looking at each other's dicks to get off.
Mm-hmm. There's some stimulation when they're rubbing their dicks together.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the DP, I'm always like, their dicks are touching.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Their thighs are slapping together.
Also, it's like really funny because even for gangbangs, it's really interesting because like, I felt like at least when I did gangbangs for kink, I like realized they like to use kind of like sort of like the same mixture of dudes, probably because like they know how to like work together sort of in a good way. Also, because there's a lot going on in gangbangs and like,
yeah,
there's a lot,
there's so actually, much. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Also, like people don't understand, like porn is like, it is work. It is work. It is work. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some days where it's like I had a great time and I had like a legit orgasm and it was wonderful. And there are other times where it's like I earned my money today. I earned it. And that is why I'm going to spend a lot of this on like getting oysters or some dumb shit because I earned this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and so, and I don't think people realize like all of the things that actually go into making content. And when it's like a gangbang, you literally, it's like, you got five hard dicks, you got dudes duding, you have like, you know, you have your model, also, and it's like, you know, also it's a thing where it's like, if you have a model that's doing a gangbang, they're probably like, I don't know, there's a lot going on, there's a lot you have to think about, there's, I think, a lot of like, non-verbal communication. And like understanding you have to have.
What's the environment like for you, like as the model taking the dicks? And also like, were the gangbangs more like five people rather than like the massive gangbangs?
Yeah, the most dicks I've ever had on camera has been five.
Right? Okay. That seems like a manageable gangbang.
Yeah. Yeah,
said like, one sex worker to another.
Like, yeah, I think there's, yeah, because it's like, you know, you have your hand, there's three holes that you can work with, and like you can kind of, you know, you can maneuver. So yeah, that's the most like I've had. Yeah. Also, wait, what was the question? I'm so sorry.
What is it like for you? What was the experience like? Let's go back to one of them, maybe the first or the second.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
So you walked on set. What does it look like?
Yeah, like you walk on set, you know, you fill out your paperwork, and then you know, you go to makeup and...
Do you talk to the guys beforehand?
Oh, yeah, usually I do, yeah. Like, usually there's, like, a whole... I think also because, like, my first gangbangs I did for Kink, and it was really interesting because, like, Kink would do, like, your personal fantasy sort of gangbang, and they would help, like, craft it for you.
Yeah, yeah. Really fun.
So, like, I had, like... I think it wasn't my first one, but my second one was like, I always wanted to do like a nerd fucks the whole football team, like, gangbang.
Gotcha.
And it was really fun because they were like, oh yeah, can we like, have you watched Bob's Burgers? Can you like kind of do like, can you kind of be like awkward like Tina? And I'm like, oh my God, yes. 100%. So like we did like a whole like fan fiction like gang bang.
So did you work with the script or was it all just kind of like improvised? Like
it was like, yeah, we didn't have like a crazy script. It was like more like improv, like it was like structured improv.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So like there were certain scenes and things that we wanted to get for like the whole thing, but it was mostly improvised, which I kind of love. Theater kid, hello. I've really enjoyed, I really enjoyed like acting in some ways, like some of the characters that I've created from porn, because I'm like, oh, it's porn. Like you can't, like, I'm just like, I don't have to take this seriously at all. Like, let's go.
Right.
Like, yeah. So. That was really fun. I think there was one that I played like a bitchy boss. There was there was one that I played. I did like a whole vampire like fantasy where like,
oh, I love it.
That's probably my favorite one. That was my first double vag that I did. That was really fun. And I did.
Whoa, how was that?
That was really fun. I really like the double bag. While I am very petite, my pussy can be really large. And and it's just like, oh shit, yeah, like put your whole fist in there. Ah, yeah. I have greedy holes in general. Like Preacher's kid, we talked about this. Yeah. A bitch is nasty. Like it's taking me a long time to accept that, and I own it, and I'm just gonna lean into it. My name is Paisley Parker, aka Nikki Darling, and I'm nasty. Nasty bitch. And I've had a lot of fun with this nastiness. But yeah, sorry. So yeah, you go in. You usually fill out your paperwork. You go into makeup. Usually a lot of times, like, or depending on, like, what the schedule is, like, I'll either, like, take that time to, like, douche my asshole and then, like, come back and do makeup and all of that. Usually by the time, like, I'm sort of halfway finished with my makeup, like, there will be, like, the other cast of guys that, like, come in. Usually, too, like... they will say, at Kink at least, they would say, like, on the production list, like, who are the people, you know, you're working with. Usually they said, Kink at least has sent me an email of who my co-stars and people are. And yeah, it's really fun too, because then you can look and you can be like, oh yeah, Ty, I've been wanting to fuck that person for forever.
Who was that for you?
Ooh.
Kiss and tell. I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to.
I mean, probably. Oh my gosh, I wish you could see my face right now because I'm like blushing so hard.
Blushing so hard.
Oh my God. I would say probably like the big one was probably Anna Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. still, like, she's a babe. Also, a really, like, cool and dope, like, nerdy, silly person. Like, really, really, just, like, very, very much so. And I'm just like, oh, my God. I'm just like, oh, I'm ready to wife you. Like, also, the prettiest pussy I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's just, oh, my God. Like, just, it's beautiful.
You're having
it's
a moment.
Beautiful. Like, she's beautiful. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Also, yeah, Anna Fox, if you ever listen to this, hi. I miss you. I'm such a nerd. Yeah, but anyways, so yeah, probably like that was like a first, and that was great. So much fun. And I think like who else? Chanel Hart, that was great and really fun. Daisy Ducati, the first time, like, but we've known each other. We both like originally met the Lusty Lady. But yeah, we had some wild times.
Man, I swear the world of sex work is so small.
It truly, truly is.
It's a small, small sex work world.
It
and
is.
Yet expansive.
It's very small and incestuous, but also like, yeah, very expansive. But it is very like 6 degrees of separation upon.
Okay, so you get into the shoot, and then is there just like a natural like I'm the first dick that's gonna go into this hole, and you're the first dick that's gonna go into that hole? We of course never really do foreplay because this is porn,
right? It's like it's kind of like, I mean, we'll definitely, the director will definitely kind of, I mean, the director will 100% direct and just kind of be like, you know, we all come to where the set is, and the director is like, okay, so like, this is kind of how we want to do it. So there probably are like, there's like some kind of like brief intro of something. So we usually like will do those first, and then yeah, like when you get into the sex, they're like, all right, are we ready?
Okay.
And then it'll start with like, there will be like some kissing sometimes, or like some kind of very, very
brief,
what feels like very brief foreplay. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind
I feel
of...
like there's like this kind of hesitance around it, because like it makes it like gay. I don't know, like
foreplay is gay.
It's funny how like everything that like involves like positivity and shit that feels good, it's like it's gay.
Yeah. Pleasure, gay as fuck.
Fair. Yes, I agree.
So I have a question.
I don't know why people shy away.
I don't know. I think it's just because like they're like, oh, I can't go down on this pussy because all these dicks are going to be in this pussy, or I don't know.
Which is so funny, because there have been a lot of times like off camera, because you know, off camera, if you got a good vibe with someone, like, you know, it's not a sin to keep fucking, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a lot of times off camera dudes will be like, I want to taste your pussy. And I'm just like, yeah. And they'll like taste my pussy, and their dick will get like rock ass fucking hard. And I'm like, why don't you do that on the fucking camera?
Because yeah. They don't want to be seen as the gay.
Right. I don't know what it is about, like, what is it about giving someone pleasure?
I don't know. It's like
that is
honestly like men love that so much.
Cis hetero men shit.
It's like, it's so weird. Like on camera, no, I would never touch a pussy. But like whenever you're there alone, like I just want to pleasure that pussy.
Right. And it's just like, if you're, I don't know, I'm like, I'm sorry, but if you're about to stick your dick in it, like you might as well. Fucking, I don't know.
Get your mouth taste, on it. A little taste.
Yeah. It's really good, I promise. Like, delightful.
I have one last question, and that is, after, so do you, I mean, I'm just talking about, like, the cis straight gangbangs where it's a bunch of dicks, not like where it's a mixed group or women gangbang or the them gangbang.
They gang.
They gangbang.
Bang. Sorry.
That would be hot though.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Oh my God.
Please make that. But like, okay, so if you've been like cream pied a lot, like, does your pussy ever like, do you get yeast infections after or anything?
I have not. I mean, to be honest, like, I have not done a lot of cream pies. That's been like, yeah, that's been like sort of on my list of like, no. Mm-hmm. There might have been like one or two that I've done before, but I generally didn't really do the cream pie thing because, I mean, to be honest, like that felt too intimate with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that
felt like, yeah, it felt like too intimate for me, and I was like, no, like that's for my partner. That's for mm-hmm. like the special.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah,
the special
yeah.
ones. So that was, I mean, that's the cool thing too, because you can definitely, you know, you can say yes or no to like any things that you don't want to happen.
Designate
question
where
is,
you want
hopefully,
your cum.
Hopefully the people that you're shooting for and hopefully the people that you're shooting with respect those, because that doesn't always happen, which sucks and is really trash and also puts you in a really weird position as a performer, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's a weird thing. I don't know. It's a weird thing when you're like, okay, I don't know. Because at least when I was doing a lot of mainstream porn and doing porn, like, I don't know. People like to try to say that, like, oh, yeah, if anything happens, like, I want to be your advocate. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've at least seen too within the porn industry. And I've also, like, even with myself, feel like when I've talked about either problematic things or things that made me uncomfortable or things that didn't seem right, I've definitely seen sort of how that affects your work.
Yeah. I mean, it's like at the end of the day, like your producers and director want to like make this porn, like finish the porn.
Right. Also, yeah. And that's it. It's a lot of, exactly. It's a lot of pressure. Like everyone's been there all day. Like,
yeah.
And you don't want to be like that person, which in hindsight, if there's any people in porn that are listening to this, like, fuck that. Actually, like, advocate for your fucking self, because no one's going to advocate for you. And like, fuck it if people are going to. Fuck it if you're going to lose work. But also, like, I'm not going to shame anyone.
Yeah,
I'm
not, like, not even your fault, anyone. You know, like, oh, it's God. Your boundary being violated. It's like them fucking up.
Also, like, it is. I mean, also, it's like, I don't know. It's a really interesting thing, too, because, I mean, even in hindsight, I don't know. There are certain things that I was like, oh, yeah, I'm cool with doing this. And now, like, there's certain things now where I'm like, there's certain things that I did where I look back on it. I'm like, oh no. Which that's something also to always consider. Like, I feel like hindsight is always 20/20. But, like, yeah, if you're doing porn, like, just remember, like, yeah, the shit you do will be able to be seen
mm-hmm.
forever. And yeah, there's definitely certain things where I'm like, I don't know. There's nothing I can do about it, really. And also, I'm just kind of like, if I accidentally traumatized anyone, I am sorry.
Mm.
That was not my intention.
Right.
It's rough. Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility to have.
It is. I definitely too, like, I mean, I get, ooh, I mean, if we want to talk about the trolls, people can say some fucked up shit. Yeah, I definitely get a lot of like really butthurt, like cis hetero black dudes that are just like, why are you racist and like never fuck black guys? And I'm like, first of all, I do. On camera and off camera. If you just looked a little more. Also, like, that's not always how like mainstream porn works. Like, you yeah. get booked with who you get booked with. Now, if a person is on your no list, you can say no, but like, you know, I didn't make the fucked up rules.
Yeah, right. Definitely. Yeah. You didn't make those market pressures.
No, I didn't. And also, like, the reason why I'm more independent now and why I don't really do mainstream is because I do want to have more control and be more intentional with, you know, my content and who I fuck on camera. It sucks, though, because, you know, most of my shit that I at least do for my OnlyFans content-wise is very queer-centered. Mm-hmm. So then a whole bunch of, you know, then, like, a whole bunch of cis hetero dudes are like, but like,
where's the dick?
I know. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, you can never please it. Like, honestly, like, it is daunting and it is a failing game to please everyone.
Right. Definitely. Well, on that note, we are reaching the end of our time. Nikki, yes. Where can we find you?
You can find me on my Instagram at NikkiDarlingXO. I also have a link tree there that also has my other things. Also, if you are more of an artsy person and not so much into, like, the P and the G type shit, you can also find me at Paisley_Parker. You can also find my writing and my art on my Patreon. What is it? The Magic Alien, patreon.com/the Magic Alien. And yeah, you can also find me on my OnlyFans. I'm kind of burnt out and not really on it that much, but also, hey, if you want to support me and still see some hot shit and nudes, yeah, and stuff, you can also find me on my OnlyFans, onlyfans.com/NikkiDarling.
Beautiful. Yes. You can find me at The Goddess Corey on Instagram, on Twitter. I have a milkshake. It brings all the boys to the yard. And you can click the links in it.
I'm Selena the Stripper. You can find me on Instagram at Pretty Boy Girl. You can support my Patreon at The Real Pretty Boy Girl. You can check us out on Instagram at Ho in the Nose, spelled Hooks in the Nooks. And yeah, you know, just another reminder, send Corey some Skrilla.
Some coin.
Some bread.
For the boy, please.
For the boy. Yeah. And yeah, so that's it for this week. I hope you have had a wonderful another day, week, time, hour.
Pandemic.
Quarantine. Yeah. Wow. That's it. All right, everybody. Well,